We will call the Gage County Board of Supervisors meeting to order for Wednesday, August 23rd, 2023 at 8:45 on the clock. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left. Attendance by observation. Jurgen Schuler, Teeman Dorn, Swavely, and Lytle. Yeah, okay. Ms. Haxby is out of town at a meeting with the Department of Transportation for transportation grant writing today. Up first is the consent agenda. Approve the general agenda. Approve minutes of the meeting held August 9th, 2023. Approve all claims through August 23rd, 2023 in the amount of $587,921.09. Accept claim number 23080124 to Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $400 to be voted on separately below. Approved bid for masonry and restoration services for the Northeast Stone Infill in the amount of $15,053. Approved bid for masonry and restoration services for phase 12, which will be the clock tower restoration in the amount of $213,313. Approved sending a letter to planning and zoning requesting the review of regulations for the livestock confinement facility operations. Approved sending letter to NIRMA to recommend reappointment of Eric Teeman to NIRMA board and authorizing Emily Haxby to sign this letter. Approved reappointing Derek Damro to another term on the Gage County Planning and Zoning Commission effective April 11th. 2023.
April 1st, 2023.
Adding numbers.
So moved.
Second.
I'd like to pull item 10 off just for just brief discussion.
Fine.
Sorry. We have a motion by Swavely, second by Lytle, to approve the consent agenda as presented, less item 10. Please vote. Six in favor, motion carries. Item 10, that'll be a reappointment of Derek Damro, if approved. Our policy has been to allow members on planning and zoning to up their terms. We've had discussion before about placing different people to get new people onto planning and zoning. In the past, it was hard to find people to serve on that board. We've got a good list of people now. Ironically, with Mr. Damro, we just had a good recommendation from Lisa Wiegan on Monday talking about his experience in some of these, in this industry, I guess swine in particular. But that'll be open for discussion at any time as we have planning and zoning members come up. This isn't anything against Mr. Damro by any means, just kind of explaining what we've done as anyone's asked to up their term. We've always done that, and I just wanted to point that out. Doesn't make it gospel. It's just the process we've had. With that, I would ask for a motion to approve Mr. Damro to another term.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Lytle. Second by Swavely. Any discussion? Please vote. Six in favor. Motion carries. Regular agenda. Approve or disapprove claim number 23080124 to Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $400. This would bring the total amount of claims approved through August 23rd, 2023 to $588,321.09. This is a company I'm involved with.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Swavely, second by Dorn. Any discussion? Please vote. Five in favor with team and abstaining. Motion carries. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Anything you'd like to bring to the board or talk about that's not on the agenda or that you'd like brought to another board meeting or...
Eric?
Please come ahead, ma'am. We aren't allowed to discuss back and forth during this period, but please give your name and address for the record. And
Patty Barnard,
41928 South 176th Road, Liberty, Nebraska. In regard to the Island Grove CAFO for the hogs, in the map and the letter that we received from the P&Z committee, there is an error in the marking of the ground, of the description of the land down here. And I do have the right one, that it should be one over from where it's at. I do not have a copy. You want me to show this to you, or?
I would ask if you could get that
to Lisa?
Lisa Wiegen, and she'll get it to all of us that way.
Okay, so just show it to her then.
Yes,
and because we were supposed to have our hearing Tuesday evening, so we were thinking that it should be delayed then. Because this is not right. Won't that have to be made right? Am I right? Wrong?
I guess counsel, stop me if I say anything. I can't.
We don't say anything.
Okay.
Okay.
We can't interchange on this.
We were that if we brought it up today, that there would then we'd show it, and that it would not, our meeting would not be in hearing on Tuesday night. So I can just talk to Lisa later then, if that's what I'm supposed to do.
Thank you, Patty.
Thank you.
Would anyone else like to speak? A public comment? Any items for the board at all? We'd like to welcome all of you. Thank you for coming. We do appreciate it. We don't have much of a audience usually, so we do appreciate you taking time out of your day to come to the board meeting. We'll move on to committee reports, building and grounds, winter lights, Mr. Swavely.
We'll let David come up and tell us what's going on, bring us up to date on all the things going on around the courthouse.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to thank you for approving for us to continue on repairing the building. That was for the tower, which is actually a pretty sizable job. It'll take about 4 months of work, so he would like to start on it in September and October, and then just see how that finishes out and come back in the springtime and continue the work. And that was some of the work we always knew was going to be a big job, and just he's going to use a man lift. 4 months rental on that is kind of costly also, but it was a lot cheaper than the scaffolding. And while he does that, also I would like to get some new light strands for our winter lights, and he's going to take off the old ones, and I will just have him install the new ones. So that's something that we can get off the checklist also. And we did also talk about the possibility of removing some of the bricks out of the windows that were blocked in a long time ago for better air circulation up in the attic. That always helps the roof to keep that old hot air out of the attic. So we'll start moving forward with that. Like I say, I think he's going to start hopefully early September on that. And then just some of the glitches that we had over the past couple weeks since I've seen you last. We did have a fire alarm go off on early Sunday morning, and that was due to the fact that our dry system, air compressor, breaker trip. This is the second time it's done it. And so it released the clapper to release the water to go up to, no water came out, but it does release it. So it goes up to those sprinkler lines. And so what we're checking to get either a backup air compressor, I'm going to check with the sprinkler company to make sure that that's all okay with them also. But just to avoid that from ever happening again. And then we talked about this column right here. We did have a proposal, not a proposal, but just a study done on it to see what we could do to get that taken out of here. They did say that they had a project very similar to this one about 16 years ago, and the cost was $20,000 at that time. So the cost would be... somewhat sizable, and plus we wouldn't gain as much as what we had hoped, because we would still have to have a column on the north wall and south wall that would take up space also. So for now, I think we're going to just try and incorporate kind of a little bit of a different floor plan to make it work in here better without this, or with this still here, but we'll just work around it. And I ordered some acoustical panels for third floor to cut down on the noise up there. We did have a little problem with detention center, the air conditioning. They replaced a few things, a compressor and a fan, and then we had another, just yesterday afternoon, we had another fan unit go out, so they're going to replace that. So it's still doable over there. They're just missing one. There's six fans that blow out the hot air, and one of them is off right now. So keep things going. We had some issues over here at the courthouse, too, with some units that needed recharged also. So this hot air, hot weather's really trying everything out. So that's what I had.
Right.
Thank you.
Thanks, David.
Well, as we said Monday, there's always plenty of hot air in the courthouse.
Courthouse or the sheriff's office?
Sheriff's office.
Sheriff's office as well. Equalization, no real update. Had a brief meeting this morning. Patty Milligan's out at Kearney at training right now. We're going to continue looking at all items. Ag land is more equalized. It looked like we had a little bit of issue on commercial and residential. We'll try to find a way to work through that here this year again. Finance and insurance, Mr. Juergens.
Large ticket items. Standard Appraisal Services Incorporated, Appraisal Services, $13,924.50. Washington County Sheriff's Office, Inmate Boarding and Medical, $28,718. Beatrice Concrete, Sand and Gravel, Rock and Gravel, $16,152.08. Manili Wagner and Associates, Engineering Consulting Services, $41,231.95. Sat Brothers Fuel and Oil, $10,942.02. Masonry Construction Incorporated, labor, material, and equipment, $52,313.
I will also say, instead of just money going out, the clerk has received another $50,000 of outside ARPA money. This program, the acronym is LATCF. It came in two installments of $50,000. We weren't entitled to that, but she applied for it. So the clerk has brought in another $100,000 of grant money to the county. So
great.
Thank you very much, Don. We do appreciate it. I'm sure we'll be fast to spend it. Human resources, employee relations. Of course, we had a little bit of change around. The board's been updated on that with personnel, kind of moving things around at the highway department, trying to run consistently leaner and more efficiently. I think over the last few years we've downsized by five or six people now. The highway superintendent, we've been talking to him. We are still getting everything done, if not more things done. So we're just going to continue to try to run as efficiently as possible as a government body. But things are going the right direction. We'll keep monitoring them and seeing what we can do to trim where we can and still get as much done as we need to, and then in excess of that also. Law enforcement, emergency management, Mr. Lytle.
We see Gany.
So on the above mentioned by Patty this morning, I will confer to the county attorney on that, just in review and so forth after the meeting. But what I do want to share with you, there's always been questions about the due process, about the process, what happens in planning and zoning, the procedures. And so is this a done deal at the PNC's meetings? And so it is not. In terms of planning and zoning, makes a recommendation. So originally we have our meeting planned for next Tuesday evening. Letters were sent out to a large number of people, which included a large portion of Liberty, since it is a mile and a half from Liberty, as required also in addition to the Pawnee County line, too, for that, since that's 196 is your county line for Pawnee County. So planning and zoning makes a recommendation. They hear the testimony. Everyone will have the opportunity to speak for, against, or in a neutral state. PNZ looks at their regulations. They'll make a recommendation. Then the process starts all over again. So in terms of your public hearing is set by the date being set by the clerk, and then we send out the next notice of the area, so, and the time and the place of the hearing. So there has been a map, as I shared with you, a map that has been shared with many of the landowners here today of the exact actual point. And that was one of the things that I brought up to you, was that I was not going to move forward with a special use hearing until we verified the setbacks with Chris Witolski. That position has been marked on site, and Chris took those particular measurements. A map was prepared, of which you received also, I think, on a committee meeting timeline. And so I handed that out to several landowners. It is on public record down at the village clerk or the post office and so forth. So nothing has been kept secret in terms of the locations or anything, because we wanted to get, you know, the location accurate. So that way, since we knew that one of the homes were to the northeast was, you know, fairly tight, which would have been the rural residence. That's why we waited to make that measurement from that point. And that map, again, has been on record and shared. So, other than that, that's all I have at this time.
Well, like you said, I'd ask you to talk to council about that to see what recommendation is after he has time to review that. And then
I would just note that, you know, we want to in talking with Lisa, there were some areas where we said, go ahead and expand it.
We went above and beyond.
We were notified, that even though it wasn't required.
After the last time, I knew that window had been expanded some, just in case.
Yep, the north. So our letter plainly states the northwest border.
Projects, and that's doesn't come on her. that's one of those situations that happen.
Sure.
And so this time.
Yep.
There has been, Lisa and I talked also, there was a question on Monday about some permitting for a seed business. We went over that, and after discussing, a lot of it comes down to if the business is put at a person's residence and how honest that person is with their permitting. I'm going to give those folks a call. Let them know what's going on. They're making arrangements to back things up with construction a little bit. Do you have an anticipated date when a permit could go through?
So obviously, when an applicant comes in to me, you know, 2.5 to 3 months, just, you know, from the timing of, you know, this is in the special use permit process. So the two hearing process, every effort is given to try to speed that up, you know, accordingly. And then obviously you guys have your hearing, and then you wait 2 additional weeks. And that particular applicant also admitted, you know, he should have started sooner. You know, when you get a building that can be delivered, and but it's in that particular permit is in an A2 area, and considered to be, you know, a separate commercial business. So.
And I would just ask you to get stuff to Dawn. Maybe we can, just to expedite this stair step, use permits as soon as there's no application.
No application at this time. So.
Okay. That's going to make it tougher, too, but I'll call them this morning yet and talk to them about that. And we just need to get an application in.
Have an application.
So no application for a permit or anything still?
I have had an application that came in for a subdivide, which that subdivision has been approved.
But not for the building?
No, sir.
Okay.
So
maybe if you get done up here, maybe give them a shout and just talk to them. Otherwise, I'll give them a call and say we really need to get an application in. And the only other thing I will say, I've heard there's been issues getting a hold of Island Grove Township. I tried getting a hold of them also, so we need to continue to try to get a hold of them for any possible negotiations with the permit applicant prior to a permit being issued or discussion on that. Really, if the township wants to get involved, it'd be better if something potentially is going to go through, or, you know, there is an application at least, that if they could work together on roads or any difficulties that they foresee or anything like that.
I mean, we try to, before we prep for, in preparation of the planning and zoning meeting, those are all things that we'd liked, at least for the applicant, and, you know, the duly governmental body, whether it's the county or the township, to have that beginning conversation. And so, in speaking with the application, applicants, they are frustrated because they're not getting a return call. And then also, I did reach out to Island Grove, and at this time, they feel it's not an issue until the application is, you know, approved. But there's a lot of uncertainty, you know, with what should and shouldn't happen. So as the commission, we'll deal with that when it comes time.
Hopefully they understand they're public officials and we're elected. A lot of people I don't necessarily like to talk to, but we sit down and we talk. It's important, the process that you were talking about.
Or if they do have issues, I mean, work back and forth with Mark so we can try to mitigate any issues that are there as soon as possible, whether it's rock or anything else. But Roger's right, it's a rough spot sometimes. You even let me come into your office.
I think it's too important because as the commission moves forward with making good decisions on behalf of, you know, those are for or against, that they have, you know, the adequate information that they need to make those decisions. So, yeah, thanks.
Thank you, Lisa.
Yeah.
Thanks, Lisa.
Yeah.
Morning, all.
Morning, guys. I passed out earlier from the meeting and got some of the last couple weeks' stats. I won't bore you with that. Just a couple of things that point out. Last week, we served a search warrant down Blue Springs area, and we arrested two people and cleared up three burglaries and got a lot of the property back. So that took a time to get to that portion of the investigation, but we did get some good results on that. School. Back at it again, as you well know, and the school has been real good about wanting to kind of be around, checking on things, and we had one, I think the first day of school in Blue Springs, had a drug violation outside. Somebody looked suspicious and called it in, and he was suspicious, all right. And then the last thing, I apologize, I haven't got my last deputy I hired, Emily Trimble out of Odell. We've been rushing her through Triangle Mandy to training down before she goes to academy, and that'll be here in a couple weeks, and when she gets back, then I'll bring her in and I'll let you see her. So that puts us at the full force until the end of the month, and I lose somebody else again. So we start the process all over again. So outside of that, that's it. But you got a problem with something?
I don't see any big claims. Everything seems fine.
Not doing big claims, yeah. All right, thanks.
Thanks, Sheriff.
Thanks, Gus.
No problem.
Anything else, Mr. Lytle? Road and Bridge, Mr. Juergens.
Okay, fiber is being placed in the conduits as we speak. Raise grant debrief, 11 applications. We moved on with those applications. Possibly better funding. But we have to clear a lot of hurdles first. Southwest 61st Road culvert review has been done and can be replaced. And three tree letters went out with good response.
Thank you, Mr. Juergens. Mr. Conkey, Ms. Haxby asked if she could have a letter, a tree letter, in a whatever form that you can type on the computer on it.
Just a blank form.
The typable kind.
Fillable.
The fillable. Fill out onlineable.
I just want to make it clear that if she's sending out notices, there is no way to track it on my
She
site.
Doesn't want to send out any notices. She wants to send them to you only.
All I need is a name and location.
She's very adamant about wanting a form.
There's some concern there because, you know, again, if right now Mark's going through and we're starting, basically working with some of the board here, prioritizing. We got some areas that are really got some safety issues that we want to make sure, and that's what Mark's focusing on, And we've got some multiple track property owners, so we're trying to work with them to develop a plan. What's the old too many cooks in the kitchen type thing? I just caution, I'd like to see Mark see what he can get done here before we move, you know, because we got a lot of area to cover in this county, a lot of trees, a lot of brush and that stuff. I think it's important that we focus on his area, and if he needs help, because all of a sudden, and he's talking to me because he's been CCing me on these letters going out, at some juncture, it's going to be up in my office where we have to start filing some complaints against people, which adds more work to our office as well as to the court system. So, I mean, I'd be more than happy to talk to Emily, though. That's a concern. Is
maybe talk to her when you have time. She doesn't want to send any out. She just wants to get them to you, and then you can file them and work through them as you have time. That's coming from Ms. Haxby.
I mean, is that for her area? She just wants them for her?
She hasn't said. She just wants the form. So she said so she knows what information, and then she can attach pictures and send them to Mark. But
well, I mean, everybody's got those forms, Roger. We've all reviewed mm-hmm. them. If there's a high concern in her area, I would say, but I don't know if anybody should be driving around and everybody all of Gage County and pointing the finger someplace else. So.
Mr. Lytle?
I don't know that we need a fillable form to give to Mark. Why don't we just be able to email and say, hey, I saw this location.
I agree.
You want to take a look at it? I don't know. I guess my thought. You've got somebody that you're giving the job to, and you moved some job positions around, so he's got somebody to help him with it. I think I'd leave it alone.
I mean, I got to agree. I mean, it's okay if she has a problem, has a concern about some area, call him and tell him where it's at and let him go check it or let him have somebody check it. I mean, that's...
I wouldn't mind seeing the form, but it certainly doesn't need to be fillable. I just like to see it just so I know what's on it. And that's just for my knowledge. So if somebody says something to me about the form, I know what's there.
And we've had a copy of it. I don't know. Maybe
get. I don't know if you've got a final copy after Roger and I have made, but I can get you a final copy.
Maybe get us a final copy
of the letter too.
And it's.
Thank you, Roger.
Let Mark know by email or phone call and
call him up and tell him the location. Let him.
Yeah, that's his job.
The thing about it is I know I've had conversations with Mark about trees and different areas. I know I think he's working through this, and a certain landowner that has accepted that challenge to clean up some things, quite a few things. So I think he's doing a good job how he's going about it, and I think that's where it should stay.
I agree.
We do have a text here, an update on the fiber. Pickerel is constructed with 58,000 feet of fiber in the ground. They're starting to splice pickerel right now. If you are in the area, fill out the information on fiber.nextlinkinternet.com so they can get a hold of you and run the internet to your house. Adams should be done in 2 weeks. Cabinets are being set. Cortland, 73,512 feet are bored. 99,000 feet are plowed. They're working on cabinets now with NPPD in Cortland. DeWitt, they have the next application. It'll be on the agenda in 2 weeks. So I guess most importantly for everyone in the different areas, the link to go to or the website to go to if you want to get on this or have your house tied in is fiber, F-I-B-E-R, dot next link, N-E-X-T-L-I-N-K, internet.com. That'll get you in contact with whoever you need to talk to get your house or barn or anything else hooked up to fiber. But it's moving along. They'll start moving back this way then after that. They are working with the different villages. It looks like they're going to overbuild several other villages on their own budget. Anything else for Road and Bridge? All right, we'll move on to Rachel Krackemeyer, the Engage Executive Director, for her presentation of the Engage Quarterly Report. Good morning, Rachel.
Good morning.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks, Rachel.
All right, good morning. Move this down here. So, of course, we're always busy doing all sorts of different activities throughout Gage County in regards to economic development. We are in no shortage of economic issues, as you all know, dealing with childcare, housing, workforce shortages, all of those types of things. Over the last 3 months or so, our strategic goals, and in this document you can see our approved strategic goals over the next 3 years, which is on the second to last page. Essentially, those broken down are expanding business and industry, building business relationships, youth engagement and talent advancement. We are a community for kids, and housing is abundant, diverse, and affordable. So a lot of what we've been doing over the last several months and will continue to do, and one thing I'll have you take a look at in your packet is the very last page that looks like this. So we do, in an effort to support businesses, but also aid our efforts in fixing issues that new industry coming in might experience and what we can do to help fix those so it's more attractive for businesses to come in. So we go out and do what are called business retention and expansion visits. So we survey businesses. We go in and we have quite a lengthy survey. We've kind of made it a little bit simpler just to be a better use of time for these businesses. Of those businesses surveyed, we do 40 a year. Is our goal. Of the ones that we surveyed over the last year, these are the greatest challenges that they face in expanding. Top one, you can see 57% of businesses said that labor attraction is their biggest challenge that they face. The next one is quality of life, which is a housing issue. Another labor attraction one, and this is access to sufficient workers or having a large application pool to interview from. The next one was another quality of life, which is just community amenities, entertainment, schools, those types of things, which we all know what's happening in various areas of the county and right here in Beatrice with the building of the new school and lots of other things happening. And the last one was another quality of life, which is childcare. So one thing I wanted to point out in all of the challenges that our businesses are facing, these directly apply to Engage's strategic goals that we've set out over the next 3 years. So that's what my work is going to be geared towards over the next 3 years, is figuring out what we can do locally to create creative solutions that meet our needs and help fix these issues for our businesses and our communities. So one thing I also want to say is the County Board, your guys' efforts to bring in NextLink and that fiber project has been extremely beneficial. In conversations that I've had with business owners throughout the county, it has directly impacted them and will help them expand. So that's been a great effort, and they're very appreciative. I know one single business alone saved tens of thousands of dollars because they were going to put it in themselves. And we were able to say, hold up, the county's bringing it. Just give it a couple months. So that was phenomenal. So I thank you all for your work and effort in that area. Otherwise, there's just kind of some more information in there on what we've been up to in regards to housing and childcare. We're in the process of creating some awesome partnerships with local businesses and childcare providers to hopefully continue to increase capacity throughout the county, but also to build sustainability efforts in retention of childcare workers as well as providers, centers, and those types of things. So with that, I will open it up for any questions.
Okay, here's a big question. No one says it, but the question is always, what can we expect to see and within the next 6, 12, 18 months, what results will we see? There's always the question from the public and the sure. board with the investments made. Of course, some of it is the child care. We don't talk about that here much. We don't talk about the C4K, that's the dollars that have been coming in and going out to help local people expand or like the Kenny's investment into child care. And I haven't gone over that with the board either. So if you could touch on any yeah. of those items.
Absolutely. So Eric just brought up Kenny's investment into child care. So Randy Kenny and his wife, Debbie, own Precise Fabrication and Kenny Manufacturing. We have been working with them, and it is public knowledge, too. He has shared it with many different groups throughout the area. He is going to be putting in an on-site child care center in his expansion plans. So hopefully that will be, the goal is to have it open August, given that there's no construction issues throughout this process. It will open in August of 24. So there's just some of our work at play right there. Otherwise, things that you would see new businesses coming into town, other businesses expanding, Akuma's expanding, we've been working with them on that. There are several other businesses that we are working with, and even through like the economic incentive programs that usually goes through Engage, and then we filter that out to the city from there. Other things that I hope that we start seeing very soon is housing going up. Child care and housing are the biggest things. How can we attract people to work in our businesses if we don't have houses for them to live in and child care programs for their kids to go to so they can go to work? So hopefully those two things are going to be being erected very, very soon, and that would be a great fruitful effort of Engage in the public eye there. So some other things I do want to highlight as well in addition to that. Our Youth Engagement and Talent Advancement Initiative is geared towards connecting. One of the facets, I should say, is geared towards connecting our young professionals to the community. Because if we get 18 to 35, 18 to 40-year-olds here, there's not really a lot of activities, things, organizations to get them connected to the community. How do we connect them so that they put roots down and they stay here and they start having families and grow? That's what helps our community grow, right? So we Engage in the chamber back in 2019, I think is when it fizzled out, had the Young Professionals Group, or the YPG. We are resurrecting that group and bringing it back, and the kickoff is actually on Thursday, the 24th, from 4 to 7 at Envision Landscapes. It's Kristen Jensen with the Chamber and Megan Wick with Engage that have been running that initiative, essentially. But they have been able to gain over 40 memberships already. It is a due group that kind of helps support the overall operations of it and bringing in speakers. So it's going to be networking opportunities for these young professionals as well as professional development opportunities as well. So that's one thing. In regards to child care, I get the question a lot of, well, I don't have kids, so child care isn't an issue to me. My kids don't have child care issues, so it's not an issue. I invite you all to come out next week on the 29th to Vintage Venue from 5 to 7. We're having kind of an open house format, but also starting at 5:30, I do have a panel of speakers that will be present to kind of talk about child care and child development and how it's all connected and how it does really impact every single person in this room in some way, shape, or form. It may not be that your kids or your grandkids are having issues with it, but it may be a business that you visit frequently that is suffering from staffing issues because their kids don't have child care. Type of thing. So I really encourage you all to come out on that day to Ventures Venue and listen to these panel speakers and the information that they have to share. It's really important and critical. And finally, just to, and I will send out more information on this in the future, there is a blurb about it. We do have a keynote speaker coming on November 3rd. He is a generational expert, but his whole expertise and work experience is based in workforce development. and how to attract and retain a workforce. So Engage is bringing him out on November 3rd. The presentation will be from 9 to 11 at the Beatrice High School in the Hevlon Center. He will also be staying that afternoon and speaking to the middle school and high school students as well on how to get them engaged into their education and choosing what they want to do for a career and just kind of fostering that passion and excitement about it. So you all will be invited to that event. I've had the opportunity to hear him present, and he is phenomenal. So hopefully he will spark some ideas and things like that, and not only our kids, but our parents and our educators and our business owners as well.
A lot of stuff with Engage we don't talk about. Some of these studies, we get sick of studies. Well, Engage we do as well. But for the outside investment, a lot of people to get their eyes on it, unfortunately, we need these studies that I don't put much weight in. But when we do those, hotel study, we brought a hotel, and it was purely from that study, housing study. We brought some outside investment. We had several duplexes and homes built, as well as the city worked back and forth and had their hospital torn down and a new one constructed. But there were also there's also housing investment over on the east side of town on a development that's been there for almost 20 years. We've had some additional housing built because of those studies. We're looking at additional ones as Engage to try to bring in that outside investment. We need the outside dollars flowing in, but we have changed direction too to where we're working more. Instead of only chasing outside investment, we're really trying to work with local businesses. We've said again and again, and I think the city's finally getting on board with that too, that we need to work with local business. That's where your growth is. The outside ones are gravy on the potatoes, but you got to make your local business function. And I think we're going a good direction there. I also will say I've watched Rachel personally as we do the behind-the-scenes coordinating. A lot of what she does isn't actually producing anything necessarily, but it's finding, very similar to Lisa, here's our pool of resources. People don't all know what that pool of resources are, so as people need different things or need to know who does what or who wants to sell what, who wants to buy what, she puts those people together, and you've done a very good job at that. So thank you very
thank
much,
you.
Rachel.
That's what I tell people. I'm a connector of people and resources. That's what I do.
So. It's very important, too. You wouldn't think it would. You know, you would think people would know, but they don't.
Yep.
Do they still have the career days that they used to? I mean, I know years back the industries used to, you know, go down, each individual industry would go down to the schools and during one of their break periods or whatever and have, or maybe the whole day, and have a entertainment for the kids and show them what life's all about in the manufacturing world.
Yeah, so that is very much so being done, and Engage actually facilitates that yet. So every year, Engage has done Manufacturing Day, and we're actually in the pre-planning stages for that event. It will actually happen on National Manufacturing Day, which is October 5th. So we will have, we've had just a plethora of area schools that have asked to be invited. Typically, we've kind of stuck to the ones close to Beatrice and right around. Last year we had Johnson County Central come. Humboldt Table Rock, Senior wants to come. So we're looking kind of strategically at how many kids can we get into these manufacturing plants. We've found that that is actually a much better way to show these kids what it's like to work in manufacturing. And we know working in manufacturing is much more than welding or operating a big piece of equipment and things like that. You could work in marketing, you can work in HR, you could work in accounting, you can do all of these different things. And so we take them into the plants and show them how these pieces of equipment work and things like that. So that'll happen in October, and one of the initiatives underneath our strategic goals at Engage is to expand beyond the manufacturing industry too. So
you get pretty good cooperation from the manufacturing facilities around town?
Yes, they all want to do it because they all need people. So they're like, if we can show 300 kids what this looks like and what it is, maybe we can get in a year or two 5 to 10 employees. So they love it. They would do it every week. That's
Thank
exhausting
you.
For me, but yes, absolutely. Any other questions? All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Ms. Krackmeyer.
Thank you.
Move to place the report on file.
Second.
Motion by Lytle, second by Swavely. Place the Engage quarterly report on file. Please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. We'll move on to Mr. Cook with the Department of Labor to give a presentation on grant-funded on-the-job training incentive program. When we visited, this was specifically towards potentially deputies, but this could work through the highway department or even in the veterans office.
Yep.
Or
anywhere.
Throughout the courthouse.
Anywhere. Yep.
Or throughout the community, not just government. I didn't even realize it worked with government.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen of the board. For those of you that don't know me, I'll just introduce myself real briefly. My name is Brian Cook. I'm a business services representative for the Nebraska Department of Labor in Region 4. The Region 4 office is headquartered out of Beatrice, right here in Beatrice, Nebraska. So in my duties as a business services representative, I'm in the business of connecting people to employment. I, like Rachel, am also a connector of resources and people. My job is to network with community employers and then advocate for individuals looking for work and connect those individuals to employment. The Nebraska Department of Labor offers several different services, and I'll tell you how this idea kind of came to fruition. I was having a conversation with our veterans coordinator in the office, Sandy Grigg, and she advised me that Gage County has an opening in the veterans service officer office. Scott has a position open for an assistant. And so the Nebraska Department of Labor operates out of a grant called Workforce Innovation Opportunity Act. It's been around for years. It provides funding. Every state gets funding. Our office just distributes the money accordingly. So I'll tell you, through Workforce Innovation Opportunity Act, individuals can gain opportunities for on-the-job training. So Gage County, being a major employer in the area, could save money by partnering with the state of Nebraska on this program. What on-the-job training is for qualifying individuals, the state of Nebraska, if Gage County gives an opportunity to somebody to hire them and train them and teach them a skill, the state of Nebraska will pay for 50% of those wages on behalf of the employer, in this case, Gage County. On behalf of the job seeker, we are able to continue to provide supportive services and career counseling as they're entering their new career pathway. So let's just talk about Scott's open position, for example. Veterans Office, Scott being a veteran, could potentially hire a veteran. Veterans automatically qualify for this program. Anybody that is impoverished, disadvantaged, currently on economic assistance, will qualify for this program. In 2023, as you know, there's a lot of positions open. And with unemployment being so low in the state of Nebraska, I think the newest number is 2%. I think Gage County is still at 1.9% unemployment. So employers are struggling to fill positions. So this program comes in and says, okay, Gage County, if you're willing to hire and train somebody, the state of Nebraska has your back. We'll pay for 50% of those wages while you're training them. And then on behalf of the new candidate, we're able to provide supportive services. So career counseling, if they're commuting over 15 miles, the state of Nebraska will pay for their gas. If they're entering into a career that needs tools, the state of Nebraska will pay for tools, PPE, clothing, steel-toe boots, things of that nature. If there needs to be a certification or there's a new technology that you need somebody to learn, the state of Nebraska will also pay for that. We have a high success rate of this program. If you look at the packet, I've included several success stories of where in the region this program has come to fruition and is helping citizens of Gage County and southeast Nebraska become gainfully employed and retain employment. So on that note, it would behoove Gage County to invest in its citizens and any future applicants that are applying to work for the county that qualify for this program and give them an opportunity to train them in a skill, lead them to a successful career pathway. and have the state of Nebraska provide support as well. So I'll just talk about real quick, enclosed in your packet, and some employers are hesitant to enter into a contract with the state of Nebraska. However, the pre-award and the training contract are what needs to be signed before first day of employment. So I know Scott's interviewing right now, so this paperwork would have to be done before he can extend somebody an offer. However, they just can't start work until this paperwork is signed. Is there any questions? Do you get kind of the gist of the program? Some of these success stories, like, for example, Gary here reached out to our Department of Labor office. He, a 61-year-old, he was a truck driver. He had a heart attack, and he had to get a defibrillator placed in him, and he was unable to maintain his CDL. So he made contact with our office, said, "I'm scared. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm 61. I've never done anything but drive a truck." And so through Workforce Innovation Opportunity Act and on-the-job training, we have a partnership with Beatrice Public Schools. We were able to place him in a career as a custodian where he currently is able to work on his own, maybe sit down and take a break when he needs to a little bit, and we were able to provide him supportive services like rental assistance, gas as he's commuting. He was also able to maintain his supplement and nutrition assistance for the first couple of months while he was getting trained in his new position. So as you can see, this program is a way to link individuals that maybe wouldn't potentially normally have an opportunity, like some folks might, and place them in a successful career pathway.
We've used this with a couple of different companies, and I know it's been beneficial. I guess we always forget about it, but I didn't know it could be used for municipalities, though. So
absolutely.
Hopefully, potentially in the future with the highway department or even staff here or veterans, I mean, that's fantastic if we can help place people.
Yep, we just did the same thing in Richardson County. We presented to the Richardson County Board, and they are now an on-the-job training partner with the state of Nebraska and the Department of Labor. So in Richardson County's interest, they were looking for jailers. We were able to find a jailer that potential candidate that qualified for the program, link them to the sheriff in Richardson County. They hired him. They're training. The state of Nebraska is paying for 50% of his wages while they are training him.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good way, especially in 2023 when unemployment's so low. A lot of the people that come through our office door might not have the greatest work history or might be a disabled veteran, or it could potentially be on economic assistance or impoverished somehow. And this kind of gives them a way to learn a skill and become successful in their own career pathway of choice.
Thank you, Mr. Cook.
Yeah.
Are there any questions? Hopefully you hear from us.
Yeah, I hope so. I appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Good seeing you.
Yep. And we have multiple other services, too, that I won't talk about today, but maybe I can send to you as well. So.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir.
Yep.
We will move on to update on the lawsuit from Rick Hill versus elected officials. Counselor will take this.
Yeah, I just
good news.
Very good news. As you may recall, approximately a year ago, an individual sued a bunch of the election commissioners in the state of Nebraska, as well as some other public officials, alleging, among other things, corruption in the election process. Basically, they're going after the company that provided the software and the counting machines that most of the state uses. You may recall that the board opted to just go along with NIRMA and utilize their defense counsel, which, quite frankly, as it turns out, was a very good idea. Patrick Geenan, as the individual that was involved representing our county as well as a lot of the other counties. The long and short of this was there were three different lawsuits, and then he filed a bunch of different amended lawsuits trying to keep this thing alive. The appeal has finally ran, and I got a letter that basically said the case is closed. It was dismissed completely, so we're done. The total cost was $11,000, a little over $11,000, because it was such a, and again, $11,000 is a lot of money, true, but that's for all the defendants that were represented by NIRMA's folks, and they basically absorbed that cost, so the county's not going to get dinged for any deductible or anything, so excellent result, and our election commissioner didn't do anything wrong. So I guess that's she not only gets grants, she doesn't screw up the election. So I would ask that the communication be put on file.
Need a motion to put the.
You want that put on file formally?
What's that?
You want that formally put on file?
I like putting good news in the file.
Motion.
Second.
Moved by Swavely, second by Lytle, to put Councillor's good news on file. Please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. Now it's good to have every time we have a lawsuit come up.
And it doesn't cost you anything.
And it's no relation to me, by the way. Eddie just asked me, is that your relation? No, it's not.
Other Hill. Up next, receive and place on file a copy of the valuations for political subdivisions for 2023. You all have a copy of that on your desks.
These are all of these, so we'll place them on file, and they're listed individually. So we're going to go through our steps, but we're placing these on file.
All right. First, we'll place those on file. I'd ask for a motion to receive and place on file. Moved by Swavely, seconded by Lytle. Any discussion? Oh, is Dorn? Second by Dorn?
I think so.
Can't speak up, Eddie.
Please vote. 6 in favor. Receive preliminary requests for levy allocation to the county board from townships, rural fire districts, Gage County Historical Society, and Gage County Ag Society. With those, we did leave tax askings the same. Some had some differences on the requests, but we did leave those at a flat rate still. Did any of the fires change?
I don't know, because I think this is a 50 different. I don't think they all have to be at 3, but I think they did that last year.
I would ask for a motion to receive these preliminary requests.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Swavely, this time second by Lytle. Any discussion? Please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. Approve or disapprove resolution number
23-13.
23-13, setting final allocation of levy authority for the townships, rural fire districts, Gage County Historical Society, and Gage County Ag Society.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Out of nowhere, Juergens with a second by Swavely.
Okay.
Any discussion on this item? We are moving forward. Hopefully we will have our... I think the
second one's vital.
Two of them tied over here.
Okay. So you're going.
You're gonna have to hop a little quicker.
Going with Swavely.
Yep, Swavely. We of course are working on our budget. Our budget, which started July 1st, we can't finalize that until into September, but we're moving forward with that. This will be part of that. Any additional discussion?
Eric,
Mr. Juergens.
Just looking through these. Most of these are fairly flat or just with small increases. Is that right, Dawn?
These are the levies that Patty actually gets, but yeah. I think that because we kept the amount, the allocation or the authority amount the same, so I think they're all about the same, pretty much.
I guess that's something we could bring up. Our valuations have gone up. Obviously, everything's gone up. It's because the valuations have gone up. Some of them that are locked in, say rural fire at 3 mills, that will go up if they stay at that 3. We've been pretty adamant the county will go. We went down in our tax asking as well as a mill levy last year. This year we'll do the same thing again. We always ask people to hold their different boards accountable, and as valuations go up, does it mean that you have to just take more money because you can? Any other discussion? If not, I'd ask for a vote on Resolution 23-13. 6 in favor. Motion carries. Next, patiently waiting. Approve or disapprove recommendation of special designated liquor license for BLT Investments, LLC, doing business as 402 Sports Bar and Grill, for an event held on September 16th, 2023, at 803 East Pine Road, Wymore, Nebraska. Bev or Sarah, would either of you like to speak on this? You don't necessarily have to, but you're welcome to if you want to. You definitely don't need to, but you're definitely welcome to.
Just come. Sure. Probably be a good idea to come up and say what it is.
Okay. Well, I guess I was wrong.
It is. Okay, it is a wedding reception for 150 people. Yep. Questions?
Sheriff, he looked at it. And it
yes,
doesn't.
We have a form from the sheriff.
This is obviously a thriving business in town. This is just doing something outside of their outside of their norm. I would ask for a motion to approve this.
Motion to approve.
Special liquor permit. Okay. Approved by Dorn, second by Swavely.
Sure it wasn't Jergens.
I used to make fun of Myron for this, and now I can't hear it. Here's the sheriff's report. No issue whatsoever. Any discussion on this item? Before we vote, we have Bev Acton in the audience. She has recently closed down a longstanding business that she's committed countless hours, blood, sweat, and tears, incredible amounts of patience to her constituents that come in, her customers, invested a lot of money and time and people, not to mention the property and resources that she put in over the years. But Bev, thank you for all your work you did there. You're a great place there for people for years and years. Like I said, the patience you've had with customers, you probably should get an award for that in itself. But thank you very much for your years of commitment to the area. I know you're not going anywhere, just in a different capacity now, but thank you very much. With that, please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. Thank you both. Good luck at your event, too. Anything else for the good of the order in open session? We do have a closed session. If there's nothing else, I'd ask for a motion to go into closed session at 9:48. Necessary for the protection of the public interest or for the protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual.
So moved.
Moved by Swavely.
Second.
Second by Dorn. Please vote.
Yes.
6 in favor.
Hey, Lisa?
Most explainable.
Okay, you're on. Oh.
We will come out a close. I don't think so. Was there anything else, Don?
Nothing else.
We will come out of closed session, or I'd take a motion to come out of closed session at 11:42.
So moved.
Second.
Swavely. Second by Schuler.
Wait, please.
Wait.
What happened to my agenda?
Did I take it?
You probably put it in my shred file.
11:42.
11:42, Swavely, Schuler. Please vote. 4 in favor. Motion carries. Anything else for the good of the order? Thank you for taking time and talking about this.
No, it's important.
If not, we will adjourn at 11:43.
All right.